You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mamoutsi, alongside me, second day in a row. What a treat. GM extraordinaire, Mr. Scott Perry's back in the building. Scotty P, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Sounds like you're a little more rested today, Mo, from your trip. So, exactly.
I needed some rest.
That's good. Exactly.
You know what it is? You know what it is, right? I enjoyed watching the NBA last night. So probably the most I've enjoyed probably since Christmas Day. I don't know whether that's because I took a few days off, you know, while I was in Paris. I wasn't watching much basketball over there.
Exactly. Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it was just a coincidence of some good games, but I wanted to start talking about what wasn't good for me is the Celtics taking a 2-point loss to the Houston Rockets. People are going to wake up and see the box score of Dylan Brooks going off for 36 points, 10 of 15 from three. Mm-hmm. But it was the Celtics' strategy to double-team Alperen Şengün, which, by the way, speaks volumes of just how good he is, to double-team Şengün in the post, which would leave Dylan Brooks open. And credit to Dylan Brooks, he knocked down the shots. The Celtics stayed in the game. They just lost at the very end. But, you know, me and BJ have spoken about him. Amen Thompson. 33 points on 13 of 19 from the field, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block. He had a crazy game, a real breakout game. I think we've been talking about him for a while, but last night's game really put him on the radar of most casual fans around the country as to just how good he is, not as an athlete, but as a basketball player in general. Scott, what do you see from this young gentleman last night in the win over the Celtics?
No question about it. Everybody knows the tremendous athleticism that both the twins have, both Amen and Asar. But when I watched him as a high school kid, he had a feel and understanding of how to play the game. He played a lot of point guard when I saw him in high school. And so anytime you get a player that athletic who has a feel and understanding of how the game is played, you have the potential making of an outstanding NBA player. It's obvious that he's continued to work on his shooting because that was one of his weaknesses, his perimeter shooting, and I think that will continually get better. He is already one of the elite defenders on the perimeter. And look, let's not sleep on this Houston Rockets team. They are going to be around for a while, not just season, but this season, but seasons to come. And no more evident than last night, to your point, you take away the top scorer in Alperen Şengün, but they have the depth and the talent on the team for other guys to step up. You mentioned Dylan Brooks having this phenomenal game, shooting the ball from the perimeter. We're talking about Amen having a great game. You've got Fred VanVleet there. You have Jalen Green. You have a lot of different scoring options on this basketball team, a lot of good young players. This team is going to be a difficult out in the Western Conference. And like I said, they're going to be in contention for years to come because of this elite young talent led by an Amen Thompson.
You know, and what I love about it is we spoke about this with Isaiah Collier. Amen Thompson is just proof that you don't need to be able to shoot a three to make an impact on the game and be a winning basketball player in the NBA, even though we are in this three-point era. He's shooting 25% from three on the season. He shot 14% from three last season. I've just done a breakdown on my YouTube channel that you guys will be able to watch where I break down the entire game and show you really the details of what he was doing. But here's the interesting thing about the Rockets, Scott, is Reed Shepard, who a lot of people thought would be the best player from this year's draft class, he's not even getting on the court. He's playing G League minutes. And if you're the Houston Rockets now, right, you're sitting in the upper echelon of the Western Conference. If you're in the front office of the Houston Rockets, do you look to make some sort of move now to try and go all in on this year, knowing that you've got Amen and you've got Şengün and even Jalen Green is under contract now moving forward? You've got your young core solidified there moving forwards. But do you look around the league and see if you can pick up an extra piece that might give you that boost to win a Western Conference where, you know, I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite. OKC are the favorites right now, but they've not proven they can do it in the playoffs. Denver have proven they can do it in the playoffs, but they've had their issues this season. If you're Houston, are you looking at it like, let's push our chips to the middle of the table already?
Mo, it's always your job to look and try to figure out what you can add to make your team better. Now, with that being said, when you've got this young team that is excelling right now in the regular season, you're curious to find out just how far this group can go. So you don't have the necessarily the pressure or urgency to say we've got to do something at the deadline to improve our team. Now, if something presents itself and you feel like it's going to improve you and it doesn't disrupt your locker room, let me state that. The most important thing, too, when you're building a team like this, especially centered around a lot of good young talent, and my assumption, not being there every day, but I'm watching Ime Udoka's leadership, how this team plays, this team must have a very solid locker room right now. And what you don't want to do is disrupt that chemistry or bring any personality in that may disrupt that personality. So that's what you're also going to be looking for. So you got to be very prudent in what you decide to do in terms of adding or not adding, because it's not only has to do with the talent of the player that you're bringing in, but equally as important, it is the character, personality, and fit with the rest of the group. And that's what they obviously know better than I do because I'm not there, but look, outside looking in, again, you've got to be prudent in what you do and preserve the sanctity of that locker room.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to float an idea to you. Fred VanVleet is on contract for 43 million this year. He has a 45 million team option next year, right? He's already 30 years old. You spoke about Amen playing a lot of point guard in high school, right? If there was a deal out there where you could go and get a Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets, right? And the Nets would like this move because then they can decline the team option for VanVleet and just take that salary off their books. If you then have Amen starting, he's played games starting at the four, but if you start him at the one and you add Cam Johnson, who's a good defender, a great 3-point shooter, you add him to this group. What do you think about that?
Well, long term, I like it. In the short term, what you're not sure of, can Amen handle being the point guard full time right today without disrupting the rhythm of this team right now? And then also, who's going to back him up? We talked about Reed Sheppard, who is not getting many minutes right now. He would be the odds-on favorite for that. Is he ready to assume regular minutes night in and night out when you got a team that's sitting second place in the Western Conference? And you know the players in that locker room are feeling like, okay, let's make a deep run in the playoffs. I know the coach, Ime Udoka, is doing that. So you don't want to make a rash decision. And I know that's, coming in the off season. Maybe you wait till the off season. Now, Cam Johnson may be gone by that time, but maybe there's another player that you look into. But I'm sure they would be a little bit hesitant of doing that right now and just totally giving the reins to him at the point position. Unless, again, if they're seeing it in a way that they're super confident in it, and then they're super confident that they have the backup covered, then they maybe they would go for it. But my guess is right now they would hold off on doing that and keep the veteran
Yeah, because Freddie's got
presence
the
of Fred.
experience. He's a champion.
Yes,
I'm sure he's a key piece of
exactly.
that locker room.
And that's
Obviously,
important.
with the point guard duties, you have Jalen Green, who likes to have the ball in his hands a lot. So that would be that. But putting Thompson at the one would make your team have staggering size in terms
Oh,
of
no
the
question.
defensive end, the switchability on the defensive end. You couldn't run a 1-5 pick and roll against them because Thompson, because you saw him block Evan Mobley the other day. Like, how many guys that are wing players could block Evan Mobley on a post up? A couple games before, he blocks Ja Morant on a drive. Even when he's not an on-ball defender, as a weak side defender, he's got fantastic instincts on blocking those shots as well.
And Mo, and we talked about this, and you hear our great friend BJ Armstrong say this all the time, how important it is to have a guard who can get downhill. And when you're talking about a point guard like that with that kind of size, he can get where he needs to go on the court, Amen Thompson. Now you also mentioned Jalen Green, who I don't think is a point guard, but he also can get downhill off the dribble. He's athletic, crafty with the ball. So the size that they could present in the backcourt would be difficult for a lot of teams that didn't have that kind of size to match up with come playoff time. So to me, I would be looking at exploring that in the long term, because from a matchup standpoint, he would be a nightmare most nights in. And especially the more he improves his ability to shoot the perimeter shot, the more confidence he gains in that, the more difficult he's going to be to defend.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, I think that the Lakers may have been listening to yesterday's episode because Anthony Davis might have taken it
Yes.
personally. He came out
Yes,
against
he
the
did.
Hornets, put up
Yes, he did.
42 points and 23 rebounds. And he did it against a player who doesn't get a lot of love in the media, Mark Williams, who's quietly been having a really good season for the Hornets. Hornets lost LaMelo Ball after just 8 minutes of action with an injury. I'm not sure when he's going to be returning. But, Anthony Davis absolutely balled out. LeBron gave them 22, 8-7. The Lakers picked up a huge win. It was against the Hornets. We don't need to talk about that too much. But
It's
what I do
okay.
want to talk about is your former team, the New York Knicks, absolutely beating the brakes off the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, Ja Morant had 10 points in 27 minutes last night. He's been struggling somewhat recently. The game before, he had 11 points. The game before that, he was out. Before that, he had 16. Before that, he had 19. But he's not the Ja Morant that I think everyone was expecting after last year with all the drama surrounding him and the injuries. We expected him to come back in a big way. When we spoke about the All-Star selections, I said that I thought Jaren Jackson Jr. was more deserving of the All-Star spot if the Grizzlies are going to be represented at All-Star weekend. Jaren Jackson has been a pillar of consistency. He had 21 last night. Before that, he's had 28, 29, 22, 24, 19. Jaren Jackson's been doing his thing, but why is Ja Morant struggling so much? And how long before the media turns on him? Because that's what they love to do with the young players that they gas up at the start of their careers.
Well, the thing we don't know, Mo, and obviously he's coming off injury is, well in the off season. We know how his body is right now because he's kind of been in and out a little bit. We talked when we did talk about the All-Star berth, you brought up the point about the number of games he's missed this year due to the injury. And Ja Morant has always struck me as a player that needs a rhythm. He needs to be in that consistent flow of playing game after game after game. Maybe that is contributing to some of his uneven play. I'm not sure because the guy that we've watched for the majority of his career has been not only tremendously exciting, but a dominant player at the guard position and one who has driven a lot of the winning down in Memphis. But you were right in terms of Jaren Jackson being the most consistent player right now. I mean, as you look up, he's getting 20 a night. He's rebounding his position well. And Ja, normally coming back to New York and to the Mecca, that's a game that he would get up for and really look to play well. And it didn't happen for him last night. So, but kudos to the Knicks. Let's give the Knicks a little shine, Mo. And you know what I'm noticing with the Knicks? Because just they scored 140 points against Sacramento Kings, and Sacramento's not a great defensive team, but they put up 143 last night against a Memphis team that prides itself more on the defensive side of the ball. And as when the Knicks are clicking on all cylinders, and meaning those five, that starting five, shooting the ball well from the perimeter, moving, cutting, and defending, they're a very tough basketball team. What we're worried about is the depth with that group. And Mikal Bridges, I think, is key. When he has a big night, then the Knicks had a potential to blow teams out like they did last night and what they did the night before against the Sacramento Kings. So a little love for Mikal Bridges in
12 of
terms of
19 from the field.
that.
He had a great game.
Yes.
And the best part about these big wins for the Knicks, I saw something I never thought I'd see. Tom Thibodeau went 14 deep in his rotation last night. Everybody got a chance to
Well,
play out there
and
on the
look.
court.
This is not. It was 37-point win, Mo. So
Yeah. Yeah.
we didn't know
Yeah.
exactly. So
If you told
Tibbs had
me,
to. He had to clear the bench last
if you
night.
told
So.
me that the Knicks are up 37 and Jalen Brunson's still in the game, I wouldn't even think it's crazy. But Jalen Brunson got some rest. He had 25. I know he was busy celebrating his Eagles winning that NFL game. So maybe he needed the rest, so he wanted to get his work done early. But yeah, the Knicks have been balling as of late. I think a lot of people, they had a big buzz at the start of the season, and some people have kind of gone a little bit quiet on them. But Scott, are you ready to talk about what we seem to have to talk about all the time, which is more drama from Miami, who did pick up a double OT win against their Florida rivals, the Orlando Magic. But the Miami Heat have once again suspended Jimmy Butler. This time, they're saying the suspension is indefinite and it's for a minimum of 5 games. And the key words in their press release was that there was a continued pattern of disregard of team rules, engaging in conduct detrimental to the team and intentionally withholding services. Now, when players get suspended, there is two ways that they can get suspended, right? Conduct detrimental to the team means that the suspension for someone like Jimmy Butler would be around 300K per game that they're suspended for. But the fact that they said failure to render services meant that he's now losing 500K per game. The 5-game suspension is going to cost him 2.6, no, $2.7 million. And it might be more than 5 games if they don't get a trade done in that time. So the ironic part is the entire Jimmy Butler issue comes down to money. And he wanted to get traded because he wanted more money on a contract extension. But now he's stuck in Miami losing money. And for someone who seems to care about money more than winning, this is not a great place to be in. Do you think Jimmy Butler knew this would happen and he intentionally withheld his services? Because you can see him on the court, he wasn't giving his maximum effort, he's not showing up to practice, so on and so forth. Do you think this is a strategic move from Jimmy Butler to force his way out of Miami even more? Or do you think this is just Pat Riley standing on business?
No. Well, if it's a strategy, I'm not fond of the strategy. Let me just be clear about that. You know, one of the things that I did read, again, not there, but did read mentioned that I guess that shoot around when he was informed that he was not going to be a part of the starting lineup, that's when he walked off the court and left the court, and that's when this suspension came down. Look, here's the deal, and here's why I sit on this thing. Everybody is involved, is a part of part of this is in professional basketball. Pat Riley has a job as a professional, as the president of basketball operations, to put together a team and hold everybody accountable in the building. Eric Spoelstra has a job as a coach to coach that team to the very best ability, whether he's feeling well or not feeling well, whether he agrees with all the personnel he has on the team or not. He's got to coach all 15, 18 guys, how many they have in that locker room. And Jimmy Butler, along with all the players, signs a contract that says he is going to play basketball. And especially when healthy, for sure. It is his job to play the game, whether it's playing 40 minutes or 4 minutes. That is his job. That is what you sign up for in the contract. So that's when I say I'm not fond of this. Yeah, I know he may be frustrated and I know he may want out, but this is not a way to do it because this is not exhibiting professional behavior, in my opinion. And we talked about this yesterday, Mo, about this impacting the thoughts and minds of other front offices across the league as they try to decide whether we want to trade for this guy. You see all of this manifesting itself, and you sit back and you say, well, what if, you know, this could happen to our building? Do I really want to deal with this? You know, you can't just assume, okay, he wants out, he gets traded, now he's happy. Okay, he may be temporarily happy for 4 or 5 weeks or whatever the case may be, but if something's not going right in the new place, what is he showing here, especially of recent times, that he is not engaged with the team? So this is not good for him. If I was advising him, I would tell him, you got to suck it up, be a professional. You know what that means. That means be on time. When your name is called, you go out there, compete, play hard. That will help you get traded easier and quicker than the path that I think he's going on right now.
I just think it's insane the lack of professionalism in professional basketball. I really do think it's crazy because there's no other job in the world. You know, if you or I go to the TV network and we just decide we don't want to do the show because we're not going to be the first person to answer a question and someone else is answering the question for it, and I say, no, I'm not doing it, and I walk out, I would get fired. If I turned up late to the rehearsal, I will get fired. This is the only job in the world where you can act like a diva and fans still try and rationalize it. So I have a lot of respect for Pat Riley, Coach
No
Bo,
question.
not putting
There's
up
no
with this
question.
nonsense. You know, Jimmy, if you're not going to
No
be
question.
present at shoot around, you're not going to be the starting lineup. Pat Riley says, well, if you're not going to be a shoot around, you're not going to be on the team. I respect it so highly the way they're handling this situation. And here's the thing. In a negotiation, right, the person who wins the negotiation is the person who has the leverage. Jimmy Butler thought he has the leverage, but Pat Riley has reminded him, we don't care because we don't even have to pay you your salary. If you're going to act like this and you're not going to try and help the team win, you can sit at home, run your coffee shop, but you ain't getting a penny from us.
Well, see what this says, Mo, and what's I've always been a big proponent of. No one player is bigger than the entire organization or the league for that matter. Now, you know, we've obviously seen players reach superstar status. And, you know, varying times, you know, throughout the course of the NBA, you know, from its beginning. But still, no matter how big the superstar becomes, he's not bigger than the organization. And that's what Pat Riley is saying here to Jimmy Butler and to all the players and the fans at large. No, it's about the Miami Heat. You signed a contract to be a part of a team. So you've got to be a part of the team. And, you know, the Again, no matter how important you may think you are as a player, inevitably you're going to be replaced, either by time or somebody coming behind you that's better. That's just a fact. And I remember when I was a little kid, I'll share this story. When I was a really young kid, my dad was a former NFL football player, but you know, we sit up watch sports all the time. We were watching basketball this one particular weekend. And Dr. J, you know, Dr. J was the biggest thing for us, you know, coming up. And this was, and I said, man, there's never going to be another Dr. J. I just happened to say that, you know, I don't know. I was probably 10, 11 years old or whatever the case may be at the time. And my dad said, he said, hold on a minute. He said, let me tell you something. He said, there's always going to be somebody that comes along that's better or can replace you. And sure enough, we watched it. You know, here come Magic and Bird, you know, taking the place of Dr. J. Here comes Michael Jordan, you know, doing his thing. And then Kobe Bryant. Then you have LeBron and you have, you know, Steph. And it's
And then you
just,
have
it's a
Amon
continuous cycle.
Thompson.
And yeah, exactly. Right. And so, yeah, who knows who's going to develop into that next, you know, great player. So it's, players have to realize that and understand it. And they're better off, not only in the short term, but in the long term, handling situations like this in the most professional manner. Because when they're done playing, a lot of times, a lot of these guys want to come back and be involved in the game. But now you have owners and front office people that are watching and observing this type of activity and behavior, and they're going to say, we'll pass. And that's the unfortunate thing. And so hopefully Jimmy reconciles this and figures, because we said this yesterday, Mo, there is a very real possibility that he's a part of the Miami Heat for the remainder of this season.
And who knows how it's going to end up? No doubt we'll be talking about this tomorrow and on Monday and so on and so forth until some sort of resolution is made. I think there's only 2 weeks now until the trade deadline. So the team's going to have to start getting a move on. It is reported now that the Miami Heat are lowering their asking price for Jimmy Butler to just rid their hands of this problem. But I still don't see a world in which they accept a bad deal. Even if their asking price is slightly lower, I just.
I don't see a bad taking a bad deal. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah, they may lower the asking price a little bit, but a bad deal? No, I
Yeah.
don't see that.
And for the general manager who does trade for Jimmy Butler, you will be under surveillance because
Yeah.
because I think it would be crazy work.
Well, great, you know, what'll happen is, you know, you're gonna get the best version of him
Oh,
coming
absolutely.
in the door after all of this.
Absolutely.
He has to, and so, and you know, it'll be a new honeymoon. So, but we'll
Yeah.
see. We'll see. We'll see
We'll
if it
see.
happens. And again, hopefully, for all parties involved, that they can get something done that works for Miami. Jimmy is happy. He goes somewhere different, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Absolutely. Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. So make sure you subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from. Scott, thank you for coming through once again. We appreciate you. I think BJ will be back tomorrow, but Who knows what BJ's up to? You know, he saw me living my life and enjoying it. Maybe he turned a leaf out of my
Exactly. Mo, you can't be the only one having fun now.
I've had enough fun. I need to lock in. But
yeah.
Until next time, Scott, I appreciate you, man. And as always, get buckets. Yeah.